It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 415. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. The email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I have one that I'm going to get to in a few minutes. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. You can send me a Facebook request, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And don't forget the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com, where you can get links to all of the great past shows that have all of the links and the audio files that you would need to. You can go all the way back to show one. I have a lot to cover tonight. Only a couple emails, but they definitely lead to long discussion. And you'll understand when one of them really asks, what do I bring into a client with me from a hardware and software perspective? So we're gonna dive into that. That's one. And then the voicemail is actually going to launch a discussion about routers. So before we get started, I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. Every IT technician knows that when your customer needs help, you got to get to them right away. They want you right away. And the only way to really guarantee that is to have software installed where it's already ready, where you can connect in because they've been a client for a while, or have it easy for you to be able to remote in. Well, how about having your own website built for you, your own landing page where you put a link on your website, you tell them to go click on that link, and it will go to the name you picked, .instanthousecall.com, and it's personalized for you so they can download the client very easily, make the request where you can just connect. It'll notify you. You accept it and you just connect right in and you have complete control. You can do a reboot where in safe mode, in normal mode, an emergency reboot. It's fantastic. And it's so easy for everyone. Even a novice can handle this. And best of all, it's loaded with all the features that you will need. Now, there is a special deal right now. If you purchase any 1-year subscription, you will get 2 specialist accounts for the price of 1. That comes out to only $21 per month for a specialist account. The specialist account is you could have 2 different technician licenses to be able to support people at the same time. Each one, you know, you can be remoting in to multiple computers. So I could be doing updates on 10 different systems at the same time. You really want to check this out. And it's very easy to just go use the link on my website at miketechshow.com. It's in the show notes, or you could just go to instanthousecall.com. But to get that offer and to try it free for 15 days, enter Mike Tech Show when you sign up. You'll be able to get that 15 days for free and also take advantage of that incredible offer. Let me know if you have any questions or anything about Instant House Call, and we'll be able to help you out. With that, let's start with the voicemail question here.
Hey, Mike. My name is Jason. I live in Upper Michigan, and I have a lot of clients, small businesses, about 10 people or less. And a lot of them are running on old Linksys routers, stuff like that, and they're looking for an upgrade, you know, as they move ahead. A lot of their stuff is web-based. So I was wondering if you had a lot of experience in, like, what the best small business routers are. If you still just go with a regular old gigabit standard kind of consumer-based router, if you have anything you'd recommend, that would be great. Thanks.
I do. A couple of my favorites, and one that I really, really like, is MediaLink. It just is rock solid gigabit ports, and for, I guess, any office under 20 people, you could use one of these consumer-based routers. They're rock solid. I like Netgear. That's another one, and I'll have some links to these, the models that I like. The main thing that you're looking for, and features, do you want a separate network for guests? A lot of the routers now come with the ability to have multiple SIDs and multiple networks where you can isolate wireless access for guests or visitors, and it bypasses your network because it's going to be a whole separate IP scheme. But I'll tell you, even better than that, routers are so inexpensive now, I will hook up a second router for clients. Or an example, a separate router just because of maybe PCI compliance. We need to isolate a couple computers on a network that are dealing directly with credit cards and credit card information. For compliance purposes, you may have to isolate. You want to look at all the features, and you need to know what your client needs to do. Are they going to be hammering away on the internet? Do they have cloud-based servers that they need to access their data? So you're going to need maybe a more robust router that can handle all those connections. You can step up where you can go to like the SonicWall models. Now, Dell bought them, and I haven't looked at what they're doing with the SonicWall line of routers, but I have a few clients right now with some of the small SonicWalls that offer lots of features in blocking spam, managing the URLs, and blocking content and filtering content. So you can get pretty complicated. Another thing to look at, and this is, again, another step, and I've talked about this a few weeks ago, going maybe the untangle route, where maybe your client needs lots of reporting. They want to know exactly where everybody's going, and you want to be able to block lots of categories. Well, Untangle is a great firewall. It's an appliance that you have two NIC cards in it. It's small. It's easy to install. I got it totally up and running and trained the owner on how to manage it in an hour. It was beautiful. There are some of the options, but I do continue to use Netgear and MediaLink, which are like right now my two, I guess, flavors that I like for routers. But if, certainly under 10 users, don't be afraid to use some of those routers. Just in case, since it is a consumer-based router, I have clients that want another one on the shelf in case it fails. They're cheap enough where you should have a spare at all times. I have a couple routers right now that match routers that I've sold or installed for clients, including a backup SonicWall one, where if they have an emergency or problem, I can get in there, get them up and running quickly, and then we can deal with the manufacturer and getting something replaced or something fixed. Keep that in mind. If you have a big, important client, buy two. Have an extra one where you will maybe have the backup for it. So just giving you some ideas there, but don't be afraid of some of these inexpensive routers because they're pretty good and they're very reliable. And knock wood, I've had some in place for years and there's been no issue. Let's get to this question that's definitely going to lead to a long discussion here. And this is from Scott. He says, first of all, I love your show. I just started listening to your show and was wondering what you carry in your tool bag when you go to a client's location. I'm interested in both hardware and software. It's a great question, Scott. And I wrote him back and said, listen to this week's show. I will give you a very complete answer. The first thing you need is a small toolkit that you can carry in your bag just in case you have to open something. Now, I have two types of toolkits. I have the regular PC toolkit that, you know, that black case you open up and it gives you a little of everything. But I have And I've had this for years, and it was actually a Christmas gift from one of my engineers years ago. It's a high-precision Craftsman tool set that opens up, and it kind of rolls up in its own carrier, and it's very small precision screwdrivers, Phillips and regular, and like a tweezer, but they're Craftsman. I've had them for years. These things will last forever, and they're great if you're going to work on a laptop or anything small, and it's a nice set. I got the big ones, you know, for opening up servers, big screws, whatever, but if you're going to work on a laptop and you got these little screws and little things that you need to get to, it's nice to have that. So I have two toolkits. Second, I carry with me a 1 terabyte portable drive. It is Western Digital, and this drive has all my utilities on it. It has software that I carry that I need, and it also has ISO images of all the Windows versions that I want. Even though I carry a DVD with the burned image on for Windows 7 Professional, Windows 7 Home Premium, Windows 7 Ultimate, both 32 and 64 bit. And I have a DVD for each of them, but what if it fails on me? Well, I can whip out my laptop and I have the images and I could burn the DVD right there if I had to. I keep some blanks. You need some blank CDs, some blank DVDs. You never know, even though we're heading to everything being online and you got Apple coming out with systems with no DVD drive or no optical drive at all, that's not realistic in the corporate world and in the Windows world. So I carry some CD blanks, some DVD blanks. The terabyte drive also acts as a conduit for backing up systems. So if I'm going to be backing up software or anybody's data, maybe they don't have an external drive, my drive can handle that. I also carry a second 1 terabyte portable drive. A lot of times I'll leave that in the trunk. So there's a few things here we got to talk about. We got the bag that I walk into the client with that I modify every time depending on the client. I have various clients. The all Mac client, I will carry different things than I go to a client that has servers. I don't carry the spare parts with me unless I know I'm going to be replacing it. But the spare parts I keep in my trunk. You have to keep a SATA 500 gig, 3.5-inch drive, and a terabyte drive. You never know when someone's drive fails. So the Caviar Black or Caviar Blue, I avoid. Western Digital Caviar Green, I will not buy them. They ramp down for the speed. I won't touch it. I won't go near them. I've had one. They just suck. They are terrible. Western Digital Caviar Green, the green drives, stay away from. Go with the blue or the black. They have been wonderful right now. Them, I will keep a couple and I will use them if I run into a situation where someone's drive crashed. Well, hey, I have a drive. I have one available. I carry a couple video cards in my trunk. I also carry, my trunk's like a little store. I carry a small 15-inch VGA monitor and I've had to use it. Where you can go to my, I go to my car and I can pull that out. I keep a PS2 mouse and a USB mouse. I keep a PS2 keyboard and a USB keyboard. And it's a keyboard that I can leave behind and sell. I keep a wireless mouse that's unopened, Logitech, that I bought in bulk on the last Black Friday. This is where I'll buy some things in bulk that I can then sell and make a profit during the year. I bought a ton of mice, so I always keep an extra mouse. You never know when someone needs that. Now I now keep a SATA controller, PCI, that in my car in a box because I've run into situations where I've needed to add an extra drive and maybe there wasn't the SATA ports available, especially when it comes to a server. One thing I keep, a traditional ring-bound copybook that you can go into Staples and buy. I want a copybook that I can write down and I will not lose the pages or delete. This is where I make notes, handwritten notes for my clients. In there, yes, I might have to page through to go back or something. Maybe I'll put a little tab or something, but I have traditional copybooks like you would buy going to school, and I use them for notes because nothing can replace that. I have a pouch in my bag that I will hold them. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, very important. When you get old, like me, and your eyesight starts going, I think a critical item is a magnifying glass. How many times have you tried to read, even off the side of a Dell case, the product key? I can't read it. Or an older Dell system, especially, where they hid the tag. Maybe it's not a Dell, whatever computer it is. And they're so small. And so you need a flashlight. And you need a good flashlight. This is the Dorsey that I'm holding up to everybody. It's an incredible flashlight. So you got to have a good portable flashlight. And I believe you need a magnifying glass. I remember, I think I was a guest on Computer America. And it came up, what's in your bag? And I remember I was on with a couple people with Carrie and someone else. And everybody laughed at me when I said I use a magnifying glass. But clearly, they were a lot younger than me. But you know what? I don't care what age you are, your eyes, you know what I'm talking about. When you need those serial number or you need, yes. And you know what? I'm glad, Kate, you reminded me. I carry AA and AAA batteries. Because, yes, I have ran into clients that have a problem and the mouse, and it's a battery. And you know what? I'll eat that cost because could you imagine they need that AAA battery and you have it and you pop it in? How cheap is that? And that's something you can go to Staples, buy your batteries, join the rewards club because a lot of times they offer specials where you can buy these big packs of Duracell batteries and they'll reimburse you for free. You'll get it in rewards money. I do that all the time for my batteries and anytime ink cartridges. I buy bulk from Sam's Club, the batteries. I have a ton of batteries and I keep them. And just make sure you don't leave them in the car. You don't want them to explode. You don't want it to get too hot. So I keep them. I keep a couple in my bag. Now, something else I carry with me, and this is not your typical tool for everybody, but I deal with networking so much that I need a network tester. And I keep that with me and I keep it in the car where I can put a connection at one end and go to the other end and put a connection, hit a button, and it can tell me if there's a break in the line or if there's any kind of a fault in that Cat 5 or Cat 6 wire, and I'm going to know it. It's like an $89 tool from Monoprice, but it's well worth the purchase because it has saved me where I have found that it was the wiring that was the problem. I checked it out, or I said, you know, your cable's bad. Oh, it can't be the cable. And I would show them. I'd connect it at each end. And I was like, look, there's a fault in it here. So something else very important, and I go through a ton of these. I keep three different sizes of Cat 5 and Cat 6 cables in my bag. The reason why I'm saying Cat 6 now is because the price is so insignificant, you might as well carry the Cat 6 wire. I carry 14-foot. I carry 10-foot and 7-foot. I try to carry more of the 10 and try to sell them, and I sell them at $1 a foot. So it's, you know, $10 is a nice round number for a 10-foot cable. In my car, I keep a 50-foot and 100-foot Cat 5. I also keep a connector with me at all times, a coupler, where you can couple two network cables together. The one I'm holding up is a stainless steel Cat 6 coupler, which costs more. If you are connecting two Cat 6 cables, you need the better coupler. For the little plastic one that's a couple bucks, just won't do. So since I have clients that have Cat 6 installed, I got to spend a little more for my couplers. So keep that in mind if you're connecting two different Cat 6. Now, the coupler can downgrade so you can connect two Cat 5s, but you don't want to use it. You don't want to use a non-Cat 6 shielded coupler on two Cat 6 shielded cables, okay? And Cat 6 shielded is the most expensive cable that you can purchase. I'm ready for the highest end cable that I could run into, or if it's just two Cat 5 cables, then the $2 plastic coupler, that's fine. I keep network cables in my car. I go through so many cables because someone needs a certain size or they need something to connect, or I run into a printer that's maybe USB connected and it really should be connected to their network. It has a Cat 5 connection. Why aren't we networking it? They have multiple computers. They want me to share that printer. Question in the chat, which is a good question, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but what is the difference between Cat 5 and 6 and the shielding? The shielding in the cable will protect it from interference. So there could be electrical interference. I did a lot of consulting work at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia. There are areas where you have to be Cat 6 shielded. You got no choice. Just because of some of the exhibits, and especially if you're near the electricity exhibit, anywhere's near that, all the wiring is Cat 6 shielded because it has to be because of the interference that you can run into. So you don't need that. That's extreme. That's a lot of money that you don't need to spend. But if you're going to run wire right now, and I covered this in a past show where I talked about just networking 101, go Cat 6 if you're installing from scratch. It makes no sense. Why not? It's rated for, you know, you're going to get a gig. It's going to work. Let's get back to software tools. I don't go anywhere without two programs. I have a lot more than this, but SIW. That is the ultimate. The technician's version is the ultimate program for doing that first analysis of a system where you get a recon of detailed of everything you would ever want to know about that computer, and you can save it as an HTML file. That is a tool that is a must-have. Another must-have is FABS Auto Backup for Tech, and that link is in the show notes every week because it is the ultimate program for you for transferring data. You've heard me talk about it a lot. If you're in the business, if you're doing anything remotely to what I'm doing, it's a must-have. There's other utilities, and this you have to keep updated. You got to have Malwarebytes. You got to have Super Any Spyware. You have to have the tweaking.com Windows repair tool. I've used that a lot. This is where, after you're done cleaning the computer, okay, it's clean, but now nothing works. So that's because now you got to go through the repair process. It's a two-step process when a computer is infected. So you got to be prepared for that. And that is the cleaning, TDS, DD killer, that very important. I'm going to give you another site that if you haven't heard, or maybe I haven't mentioned it in a while, it's the ultimate in portable apps, and that's portableapps.com. I have a big directory on my USB stick that has all of the portable apps that I would ever need walking into a client, where I have my own browser, my own portable Firefox with my own links. I have my own portable FTP program and PuTTY and all the utilities that I've ever talked about. Everything that you can find on Ninite, literally, .com. I keep as many as I can contained in a portable and on that USB stick. And that USB stick is a 16 gig stick. And there I keep all the utilities that we talk about on the show. You never know what you're going to run into where you need to do a repair. There's other CDs you need when it comes to software. You have to have the Windows Ultimate Boot CD. I still have and keep with me an ERD Commander That is a bootable disk that I bought years ago that I put into a machine, and I can reset the admin password, reset an account. Maybe their machine cannot get access. They can't get access to the boot drive. So you need to boot up with a CD, have your external portable drive connected, boot, see if you can read that disk, and then you can copy the data. You need to be able to also diagnose disks. There's actually two Ultimate Boot CDs, and I'll have links to both of them, actually. And I think one is a BART PE, and then the other one is Linux-based. Hirons Boot CD, thank you. There's a couple really good ones out there. Well, why not make one of all of them? You never know what you're going to need to be able to do work with someone's system. And it's all about recovering the data. I also keep a version of Shadow Protect for backing up, because you have 30 days before you go to buy it. So I can at least get someone started with a good backup. I keep SyncBack with me, the free version, because I could set up backups for them. I do carry SpinWrite, which was just mentioned in the chat, but I rarely use it. I've had SpinWrite damage a server and damage actually two different times. I've had SpinWrite make things worse. That's right. So that's why you don't hear me talk about SpinWrite a lot. And I know there's people out there that swear by it and said, Mike, I've used it 100 times and it fixed it 100 times. Well, I've used it 4 times, and 2 times it failed me significantly. So that's where, you know, I've had a 50% failure rate. So you can see where I don't embrace it quite like everybody else does. That's sort of a summary of all the things that I have in my trunk, in my tool bag, on my USB stick, on my portable hard drive as I go into a client. But I'll tell you, one of the most important things, and I keep a multiple copies in my bag, blank invoices that you can fill out and get paid right there, or at least leave behind, and business cards. And you make sure you give a couple cards, because you want them to hand them out to other people. Make sure you got to take care of getting paid for your business. Carry invoices, carry business cards, so you can keep promoting your business and any other kind of promotional items. Now, Kate said she uses fridge magnets. I'm working on a leave behind of a custom hand sanitizer that are under $1, and it's a little bottle. That's a great leave behind for a client, where you have that little hand sanitizer that they're going to be using for a while, and it's going to have your logo and phone number on it. There's lots of creative ideas for promotional items that are out there. Let me know, what did I miss here? Or maybe I just forgot and I actually carry it, and I just, you know, couldn't think of it off the top of my head. What do you carry that I haven't mentioned? Maybe it's software. It's a CD or DVD that you've burned with something, or maybe it's a piece of hardware or something else that, in addition to everything that I've talked about, what do you keep in your trunk, in your tool bag, your software toolkit? And let me know, and I'll compile that and do a follow-up to this topic. It's a great topic. Scott, that was a great question, and I hope I gave you an idea. Everything's not for everybody. I've built what I bring into a client, what works for me. But I'll tell you how many times I'm always thinking, I don't have that generic toolkit that I just take everywhere. I'm always modifying depending on the client I'm going to, because there might be some extra things that I need. Like, I know I'm going to be pulling out, let's say, a hard drive from someone's system. Well, I'll take the device that allows me to just drop the hard drive in and plug it in USB. Well, that's pretty big. That would take up half my tool bag. So I can't give that much space to the tool bag unless I know I'm going to use it. So I'll leave that in the trunk. Something else I didn't talk about that I absolutely have to keep is a 5-port hub. Just in, you're in that situation where you need to extend. And something I've started doing, and this gets a little expensive, but you need a gigabit switch. I'm almost at the point where I need to carry one in my car, because there was a situation where we had to run to Best Buy and I've lost an opportunity. And that's something I look for. Where are the lost opportunities for sales when you're at a client? And if it happens too frequently, then you should be carrying that item. And one of them for me is that 16 port or the 8 port gig switch. And it gets expensive to have to carry these things. But you know what? If you want to make money, then you do it. Or you do what I do and you give them your Amazon link. I use my Amazon link all the time for clients that want to buy it on their own. I'll say, oh, let me send you the link for that. So this way I'll get a commission. And that's a great way to support the show, which is use my Amazon link, which is amazon.mikenation.net or miketechshow.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everybody for continuing to use my Amazon link. And please, that's a great way to support the show. If you are buying anything from Amazon or you know anyone, just use my link and then go shopping and then I'll get a commission, and that really, really helps. So that's another way that if I don't want to buy the item, then I'm giving them the link to it where I'll get a commission for that. It does help. There's lots of ways, and I'm always looking for ways to try to maximize my earnings when I'm at a client. If there's items that I know I can move quickly, like Cat 5, Cat 6 cables, things like that, then start stocking them. So this way you have an opportunity to be able to sell them and have them right there on the spot. There's only a couple more email here. Let me get to them. This is from David, and he asked, love the shows, never miss it. Recently you talked about Windows ISO images. Can you tell me the show number or link? Thanks. Now, I did, and I'll put them again into the show notes here. It's a great site for getting all the Windows 7 images. Fantastic. Love it. And then he has, since Microsoft's they're offering Windows 8, I need images for XP, Vista, and 7. Now, 7's easy. I don't have links for Vista, and I'll tell you why. I refuse to redo a system that needs to be redone and put Vista on them. I would rather upsell the client to Windows 7 than to reinstall Vista. So I don't even look at Vista images. If you come to me and you have a problem, then I will not reinstall Vista. And yesterday is a great example. And this is family. So it was my daughter-in-law's nephew was given a system with Vista on it. And they were having an issue and asked me to redo it. And I gave him, because it was family, a Windows 7 Home Premium. So I redid the system, and I had a key available for him, and I totally redid it. It took me like an hour, and I was able to totally redo the system. Then there was my son, and I don't know if you could see it behind me or not. There's a computer with the power supply sitting on top, because the night before last, he was at home, and he shut down his computer to just start doing some work with this other computer that came over from their nephew, and his system wouldn't start up again. And he was beside himself, my oldest son. I said, you know what? Bring that over too. Then there was another system that needed XP redid. I said, bring that over. So yesterday afternoon, all I did was work on systems, but in a couple hours, I had the one system diagnosed, which it was just the power supply. And we went online, ordered a replacement power supply. So that's good. He's happy about that. And then the one system, yeah, I made sure Windows 7 was up and running. And the other one, XP, no problem. Now, I don't know where you can get XP. I'm fortunate enough that I have multiple volume licenses of XP and I have the media. I'll use that. Let's put it this way. You can safely Google a volume license XP download that includes Service Pack 3. I know that for a fact. I can't link it in the show notes, but you can get that fairly easily. So I think that answers your question to where you can get that XP Pro volume license. That's all you need. And then all of the flavors of the Windows 7 that I've talked about, the three flavors and both 32 and 64. And let me tell you, I'm using the 64. There's no reason to put Windows 7 32-bit. None. Unless you're in a corporate environment where there's a driver issue very specific that you can't get for the 64-bit. Right now, I'm 99 out of 100 systems can get 64-bit. So why not do it? You go forward. What about Office 64-bit? Well, I talked about that last week. No. So Office, you'll only use 32-bit. And we talked about that in the last show. So, David, I hope that helps you with your question. Now, this one's from Mark, and he's got a little problem. He has a stop 7B error on a RAID controller. Hi, Mike. I had to replace a Smart Array 5300 RAID card with a Smart Array 6400 RAID card on an HP ProLiant ML370G3 server. I imaged the RAID 0 plus 1 drive before I made the change over and then laid that image onto the same set of drives using the new card. I am now getting a stop 7B error. In the desktop world, this means that the hard drive controller needs to be replaced with a generic one through a Fix HDC program. Is this the same for a RAID card configuration? I don't know. And would I use the same Fix HDC program? I used a corporate version of Ghost to do the image and then lay it back down. If not, how would I go about fixing the hard drive controller? First off, use Shadow Protect for the server, because when you do a restore for the, and this is too late for an answer here, when you do the restore, you have the ability to lay in the new driver before it loads the image down. As a matter of fact, it'll probably tell you, hey, this is a different controller, and it would actually load the driver for the new controller. Now, Fix HDC, I've never used that. Carrie uses that all the time, I know, when he was doing this with an image on XP. But I'm not sure if it works with a RAID controller. This is going to be a cop-out answer, but it's HP. It's server support. They will answer this question for free, whether you're in support or not. It's a server. And the same with Dell. Dell will answer your questions. Now, if you're out of warranty, they just won't supply the labor or the parts for you, but they will work through problems and help you forever. Keep that in mind. Even if you're out of warranty, call HP and explain your exact situation, and they may tell you the exact utility to use on that 6400 RAID controller, because I don't think you can just use the Fix HDC, which I think you tried and it clearly didn't work. Now, if anybody else knows how to do that with a RAID controller, let me know. But first, you want to begin with using image software solution that is hardware independent upon the restore. You would want to use the Acronis server version that has the universal hardware recovery option, or you want to use the Shadow Protect where that's built in. But Shadow Protect costs a fortune. If you're dealing with a server that's not small business server, it's $1,000. That's a lot of money. So, and I understand that from a budget, but definitely the Acronis Universal Restore would absolutely help you in this situation. You've already got the image, you got it, and it's laid down. So now what I think is it's a phone call to HP to see what can help here. Let me know how you made out. I don't know if you've already resolved this or moved on or did something else with it. Please let me know, Mark, and I will share this with everybody. And if everybody else has some ideas on this, it's a great question. Thank you very much. All right. I have some music tonight because it is the 50th anniversary of the first time the Rolling Stones have played in a small jazz club in London. And it was tonight, 50 years ago. So with that, I'm going to play one of my favorite Stone songs here. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up. That is Gimme Shelter, the Rolling Stones. Great, great song. And hope you enjoyed that. And hope you enjoyed the show. And I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. Thank you very, very much. And I will be back next week. Same time, same channel. Don't forget, support the sponsor, Instant House Call. Use my Amazon link. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.